this is a non-existing thing. There cannot be a grant to a government-owned company because it's a government-owned company. Other people think that this still could be a government grant, and that's exactly the question. I put it in the form of government grant versus equity contribution, but perhaps there are more alternatives than just those two. In the interest of time, I will not go through all the three scenarios. Basically, I think all of them have a common theme that you have a loan from a government to a company with government ownership, either some government ownership or 100% government ownership, and I think this is they differ in I think in the degree and in the different details. So the first I think the major question that we need that I would like us to discuss is whether let's look at the first scenario when a government gives a loan to 0% to a company where it has share, 30% share, without specific conditions. Let's see. Could it be a government grant? Yeah. Okay.
Because linked all the actual role of government.
Yeah. If you can turn on the mics. Yeah.
It is given for the only company or for the country per se.
Well, that's exactly the question. That's the distinction that we suggest. Basically, how do we distinguish? First of all, we think that we should make a distinction. That there could be, at least, I think there could be a government grant to a government-owned company. Whether it's a government grant or, for example, an equity contribution, would depend on whether the government primarily owned, acts as a shareholder or primarily acts in the capacity of the government.
Can I query that?
Because absolutely.
It depends on your definition of government. So when you say the government gives a grant, what is the government? So your definition's quite difficult, and most governments are all organised slightly differently. So some of them, for instance, their departments you could regard as branches, and then that's all government. Some others, the departments are quite individual and run their own thing, you could regard them more like subsidiaries. And then you've got business things. The 30% ownership thing doesn't worry me too much. I could put up with a government grant to that. But if you've got 100% ownership, then I think the government's giving a grant to the government. Depends on your definition of what the government is. And there's what happens with government, well, a lot of governments, and I shouldn't be too generalised, but they collect money centrally. They charge taxes, they borrow centrally, and then they do their budget and they distribute that money all around the government, to departments, to it might be a company that always runs a transport system and it always needs a subsidy every year. So every year the government transfers 20 million or something to that. Now they don't call it equity or loan, they just give them the money so that they can keep operating. And I guess there are conditions. The conditions are they keep running buses or they run the trains or they do whatever public transport wants. But if you start a government grant accounting for every one of those, it'd be a total nightmare in government.
Well, let's imagine that this company is a preparer of IFRS financial statements. Government-owned 100% or, 30% or 100%, let's say, but they prepare their own set of financial statements. And they get a loan from, let's say, a different arm of the government, so different, like a government-owned bank, or government directly, like the Ministry of Finance directly, or another government, another ministry, and so on. It's a 0% zero interest loan. They apply IS 39. They have no alternative other than to apply discounting to that. So the question is then. The question is that what do we do with the difference?
Yeah, I mean, I guess my answer to your question, I think you're right, except that we've got to be careful what is the definition of a government. Because if they get a 0% loan from another government bank, is that the government or is that the bank? I mean, it might be applying government policy, I can concede all that, and it's a bit like the argument we had through the banks to the ultimate beneficiaries. But mostly, the money is, well, again, that's a generalisation I've got to be careful about, but very often, the money that's given is just a straight grant, so you take it straight to profit and loss as income. So the and you're doing IFRS statements, that's normally what happens. Sometimes they'll give you a loan. Usually when they give you a loan, they'll charge some interest. Otherwise, they'll just give you a grant. And so you might have to sort that out. They may decide it's equity, particularly if they're going to on-sell or privatise something. But most often, it's not stipulated. It's just cash that goes in the door of the company or the subsidiary or the department or whatever it is, and it's used for running the organisation. And mostly, I think, they account for it as income, straight up.
Well, I think, if I may, the place that I saw this first, and being from an American background, I'm handicapped in this area because the United States has no government grant standard. But I know when I first interacted with our Chinese colleagues, this was not, as a matter of fact, the percentages might be reversed. The government might own 70%. But there's a 20 or a 30% public float.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
In that. But the situation that confronted them was not a loan. The government, as Ian said, just gave them money. Just made a contribution of 2 billion RMB or whatever. And their first inclination was to say, well, that's equity. Because the government is a shareholder, the government is the biggest shareholder. So why wouldn't it be equity? And the question that I and others from the IASB put to them was, well, did they get anything for that 2 billion RMB, or did they just make a grant? And usually when I give money to a company that I own shares in, I want something back. I want more shares, I want more votes, I want preferred participation, I want something. So my memory, and it may be faulty, is they ultimately came to the conclusion that unless there was some kind of a return, some kind of a reciprocal arrangement, if it was a non-reciprocal transfer, it was a grant. Because there was no way that you could conclude that the government was acting in its capacity as an owner.
And that's where it goes to the profit and loss.
And the only situation that has ever occurred to me was the one that Dr. Al-Razin mentioned earlier was, well, they might not have gotten something directly back, but they may have wanted to improve the likelihood of a public offering or an additional public float of shares, and they wanted to sell some more of their shares or something like that. But please go back. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's so very relevant. So basically, I guess that's something that where both you and Ian can be on the same ground, that it could be a government grant, but which is then taken immediately to income. So Okay.
I had the same argument on borrowing costs. You know, I was always one for expensing borrowing costs, not capitalizing them. I saw two boards broken 50-50 on that. But one of the reasons in government, for instance, is generally they borrow centrally. So Treasury does all the borrowing, and then it accumulates that cash with tax income, with all the other income it gets, and then it distributes it about. And then it just seems very academic to me to try and attribute to the Department of Defence or the Department of Health how much of that money they got as a borrowing, and therefore attributing a borrowing cost to it and capitalising it on things that they're constructing. It just doesn't fit the model of how governments work. This is a little bit the same, not exactly the same.
But aren't you saying then that that IFRS is not very well sit together with the government?
Well, you can start me on that argument, because I spent 5 years as chair of IPSASB, where we used IFRS standards and adapted them, and the adaptions are quite small. So in general, yeah, in some circumstances they do need to be adapted. But you still do have these subsidiaries, and government departments, for instance in the UK, are using IFRS.
Yeah.
And so your point's correct. There's a standard there that says if you get a government grant, you've got to report it as a government grant.
Yeah, exactly. That's Okay.
Sorry. We have an example in my institution in Brazil. Due to the world crisis, the commercial banks closed the doors for many, many investments. And then the government needed BNDES, my institution, to expand their operation in order to supply credit in the country. And then we started borrowing from the National Treasury, which increased my leverage quite a lot. I would rather have this money as equity instead of liability. Not grant, because there was no specific purpose and things. It was a lending operation. There is a repayment schedule. There is interest related to that. But why not as equity, as he asked? Because I don't know about the rest of the world, but in Brazil, if the government were to give us this money as equity, that would compromise the calculation of the superavit for the national account. That's why they decide to provide us as a lending operation instead of equity.
Okay, so seems that the government grant and to the question that we asked. So basically, it seems that the answer that this could be treated as a government grant, a transfer of resource by the government, with in most cases. Just profit or loss immediately would be okay. Maybe focus your attention on the second scenario. Again, one of the typical transactions between the government and the government arm, there is a company which is a government arm, which basically all it does, it constructs and operates some recreational facilities as part of a government program, and the government transfers land plot to it. Yeah, so okay, if we say it's a government grant, fine. But then in this case, it's an asset-related government grant, right? Because they transfer the asset, they transfer land plot, a transfer piece of property to them. So in this case, should this company recognize income?
Income.
Yeah. Okay. But then under the government grant standard, under IS-20, that's not what you would do. You would recognize that you would either record that at fair value and record a debit, a deferred credit, or you would set off this credit against the cost, which would result in the cost of zero. Or the third option is that you could set the land at a nominal value, I guess.
What if the government gave the company the cash, and the company used the cash to buy the plot of land? economically it's exactly the same, except in that case you would have income when you got the cash, and then you would purchase an asset with that income, and you'd have an asset. And that's what's really happening.
But IS-20 would not allow you, though, to do that, because IS-20 says, it tells you that for asset-related government grant, if it would be income-related, then yes. But in this case, it's an asset-related government grant. You cannot put directly to income immediately. You should defer it, either through setting off against the cost or through setting a credit. So.
I don't understand. Well, it's a smoothing logic, but land is also not depreciable, so
yeah, exactly.
You're not ever going to be able to write.
But
that
it could be impaired, I guess, and so on.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, whichever.
Okay, so basically, yeah. So in this case, you're saying, yeah, the answer that the standard gives does not make any sense in this situation.
Even if the government gave it to a private company. You know, you might be setting up a water authority or something, and the government says, as a start, you can have this piece of land to build your buildings on for free. Then I think the company's just got an asset for free, puts it on at fair value, and says, that's a gift.
Okay, so where we are on this one. No, I don't want to even go into the third scenario, which is, again, with the intermediary. Let's not go there. But in general, so we're saying that it could be a government grant, or I guess what I've heard is that people would not object from these being treated as an equity contribution as an alternative, right? Or yeah? So, yeah, or... Probably a third way is just everything should go into P&L irrespective of whether it's a government grant or
not. The only one you've got a problem with, that slide's not quite right, because if they just give them cash and say go and spend it how you want, that's just a grant and goes to profit and loss.
Yep.
If they give them cash and they say that's for shares in your company and there's some evidence that you know that's happening, then that's equity. If they give them a loan, they've got to say it's a loan and it's repayable and there's interest or there's not interest or however much interest and all the other terms and conditions. Then you go back to IS-20 and work out how much is a loan and how much is a government grant. But it's going to be a waste of time. Well, for the entity itself, it may be important. But, of course, on consolidation, it'll all be reversed out.
On consolidation of the entire government?
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Well,
we need
do
a separate
it.
Standard for that.
We do it in the UK, we do it in Australia, we do it in New Zealand, do it in South Africa. Full consolidation of all government entities.
Yes.
You still got to explain to me how a battleship is an asset. But,
it's easy. It provides service potential, which is what all government assets do.
I'm joking with you.
And also there's a market.
Let's not go into politics.
Bombs are harder to...
Anyway, the reason I wanted to get into this is because over the years we have spilled an enormous amount of time and treasure and toil distinguishing between people and entities acting in their capacity as owners or acting in their capacity as employees or acting in their capacity as lenders. That was the whole initial debate around share-based compensation. Was people wanted to say, well, these people are acting in their capacity as owners, so there shouldn't be any accounting for it. And we said, no, they're acting in their capacity as employees, and they get paid, and so there should be. I bet there have been, in the 3 years I've been Interpretations Committee Chair, 6 issues in which some of these distinctions have been important, not even including the IFRS 2 issues. So I think anything we can do to shed light on this is very important, especially the second bullet.
Yeah. Okay. So In terms of this, in terms of the criteria, what we suggested in the paper, because I think, well, I think we're some of us may be rather relaxed whether it should be equity or should be government grant. For the companies themselves, it means quite a lot, and I've had a lot of discussions around this this very issue, whether it's government grant or equity, with companies, with other auditors, and so on. So what we are suggesting is that, first of all, a criterion could be whether, yeah, basically whether this grant or transfer of resources is done to promote a certain government policy. It in most cases it would, I think, because the basically, is it in line with the government's economic policies, for example, provide support to a particular industry, or some like in my example, the land plot with the government's policy on public health to provide support for that. So in most cases, I think you would find this sort of a reason. Yeah. So, but
sorry, I don't think it works.
No.
So, if I want to support the transport policy by having more buses in Istanbul or whatever, I can do it two ways. I can give the transport authority some money, or I can put more equity into the transport authority. In either case, I'm doing it to further our policy of improving transport. So the distinction, you're not, governments don't generally invest like private sector expecting a return. You know, they're doing it to boost the institution. In your case, it might be a loan or equity or whatever. They're giving the central bank more money to get other things moving. But it could, and so I struggled with this with governments for years because we were trying to put in policy, accounting policy. And in the end, we just came back to the government can call it what it likes. If it wants to call it equity, it can call it equity. If it wants to call it a loan, it can call it a loan. And if it wants to call it a gift or a grant, it can call it a grant. And that's the only way you can distinguish.
But then, basically saying it doesn't significantly matter whether they record it, for example, as an increase in equity directly, or, for example, as income.
Well, the only difference is whether it goes through profit and loss or not.
Yeah.
So if you record it directly as equity, it goes directly. If you call it a grant, it goes into profit and loss and gets through to equity anyway.
Correct. For some reason, most of the finance directors I speak with, they worry very much about that.
And you can deal with some of the problems with display. I mean, you can set out quite clearly that you got in that year a special subsidy or some such, and that's why your bottom line looks better this year than it did in other years, and et cetera, et cetera. So you can get really tied up in this for not much advantage.
Okay, so basically saying that it for the users ultimately would not make a very big difference whether you record it as an equity or an income statement credit.
As long as it's transparent.
Yeah, as long as it's transparent. Okay.
I think a lot of finance directors would love to have it in the income statement.
Well,
no matter how transparent it is, because
no, I disagree.
Sometimes you get into more trouble by having a big profit than having a small
profit in government. So it doesn't always work.
No. I was talking about the situation where government ownership was say 30%.
Oh yeah, but I'm not disputing that.
Oh okay.
Okay. So basically, what you're saying relates to the 100% ownership situations.
And if you've only got 30%, then it has to be clear what you're doing because you're dealing with the other 70% non-government people. So they need to know whether you're investing, lending, or giving because they own 70% of whatever's happening.
Okay, so basically, in that case, you would have an additional criteria that whether if you're investing something and the others don't, then probably you're providing a government grant because you're acting as part of government policy.
Depends.
But well, it depends on the yeah, you're right, but it's. Yeah, could be one of the criteria. Yeah. Okay. Okay, any other views? Yep.
Maybe just a minute to come on this one. I know, Ian, you say you can spend so much time on it with little benefit, but I think this is one area where maybe the ISP could help with some guidance. Even if there was a default option that unless you can prove otherwise, it is equity. Or unless...
But I don't think that would be the right thing to do. I'm not sure the fallback always is equity. It depends on the circumstances. And I don't think... I mean, if it's totally unclear, if the government just drops $20 million into your bank account and says, good luck, don't spend it, then I don't think we can make rules to say what that is. Because it depends. Yeah.
I think...
Sonny, you provide us the perfect segue. I know I promised you, Dimitri, 45 minutes, but I forgot, again, that we were going to put to people the question of what should the IASB do? So I wonder, rather than forcing you to rush through your next issue, if I can first thank you very much. You've been on your feet all day long. So you tell me you were a professor in a previous life, a lecturer of some sort, because I think you've done an outstanding job.
Also, Wayne, very excellent papers. I mean,
yes,
we're arguing, but they're excellent papers.
As we said,
raising all the questions.
Yeah. But now the question is, what do all y'all?
That's an American expression.
That's a Texas expression. Or some of y'all think that the IASB should do. We had at least one comment with regard to the second bullet point that any guidance we can provide would be useful. I would tell you that in the times the Interpretation Committee has tried to wrestle with that, I fear that we've usually said it requires judgment. And then congratulated ourselves and went home. But what, looking at the package that we have here, I think our colleagues from Russia have raised a series of serious, legitimate questions. How should we answer them? What should we, by that I mean those of us at this end of the table, propose to either the Interpretations Committee, the Education Department, the board as a whole, that it should do? Any suggestions, comments, reactions? Yes, please. So.
Is there any chance that the conceptual framework be revised to accommodate the situations of government grants and rate regulations that Brazil is concerned, since the project is in progress right now?
In your conception,
right? We've had the ED and we're in the midst of trying to finalize the conceptual framework. In my personal view, and Chung Wu might have a different view, we're not going anywhere towards making this easy. The definitions of assets and liabilities, and therefore the definition of equity, haven't moved much. Not that help in this regard. I mean, I think I still have a personal opinion on rate regulated, for instance, that there aren't assets or liabilities, but we've still got to determine that. But we're just using the old definitions. I don't know how you'd go forward from there. The outflow of resources and all that sort of stuff is pretty critical. If you start removing them to accommodate deferred liabilities and the like, you're opening the door to any sort of smoothing, and so people put a lot of faith in the conceptual framework, but I think we've got to be realistic. When we started out and we got criticised for it, we wanted to finish it in 3 years. Well, in fact, we're just going into our fifth. With any luck, we'll finish it next year. But if we wanted to tackle some of those big problems, and some we're deliberately putting aside, like financial instruments with the characteristics of equity, which is a little bit similar. If we wanted to tackle them before we finished, we could take another 10 years, because as today has demonstrated, there's some really difficult questions involved. So I hate to be discouraging, but I don't think the new concept statement's going to help much. I don't know what you think, Chungwa.
Frankly speaking, it might not be easy to include all your suggestions here now. Maybe in the conceptual framework, we already issued the exposure draft. You know, now we are in the final stage to deliberate all the suggestions from the all over the world. So, if I guess I remember, there is no suggestions on this issue from many constituents. So. This is my frank idea, you know. So, however, maybe some years later, if we keep raising and raising issues and some specific cases that might distort some kind of performance and finish condition, then it's going to be accumulated, you know. So then in that case, you know, many constituents will suggest we need to improve the conceptual framework or some specific standards. So based on such kind of experience, it might not be easy to reflect it at this time. That's, I guess.
Yeah, I guess my take would be impossible. To significantly change the direction of that project from where it is now. You know, your post-exposure draft, you're trying to get to a final, and to say you're going to broaden the scope at this date, it's just not going to happen. Doesn't mean that it isn't a legitimate issue. Although I would say I'm not sure that any amount of fine-tuning is going to settle government grant accounting. I've heard people who are immensely skilled in conceptual thinking just take absolute opposite viewpoints on that and argue passionately that theirs is the conceptual view. So I don't hold a lot of hope for that.
Way.
Yes.
This is kind of a really good opportunity to gather some kind of good ideas from among the EEG. So that's what I'm saying. You know, when it has been kept, maybe they're transferring your ideas to the interpreters committee and to the board, and more importantly, the members of the staff, because if they could memorize some issues, you know, some related specific to standards, that's really accumulating. So this is not an exception. You know, if you just got some kind of problem and suggest to the board, you expect to change some kind of a conceptual framework standard? No, that's not possible. There's no such cases. You know, it's maybe it takes about 10 years. You know, to share your experiences and keep giving us some kind of ideas, suggestions, then it'll take a chance.
I think to build on that, since I'm being the Cassandra, a couple of other things we need to think about. If I were to walk in to 30 Cannon Street next week and propose that the board should amend IFRS 9, I wouldn't be able to get out of the building fast enough. If I escaped the board members, the staff downstairs, where the financial instruments people are, would ambush me and beat me senseless. I think, realistically, the board is not in a mind to be amending IFRS 9 until it's had opportunity to become effective and to settle in and be used. And so some of the points where you said, well, maybe we ought to think about the interaction with IFRS 9, if we approach that from the IFRS 9 side, we're in trouble. in my estimation. If, on the other hand, we can scope and target some of what you've talked about as amendments to IAS 20 to eliminate inconsistencies or whatever, and I think your example of saying, well, 20 tells me what to do on initial recognition but not on subsequent, that's not useful. That's just because it's an old crappy standard, personal opinion. So what I would like, rather than asking y'all to jump in at once, would everybody please correspond with me in the next 2 weeks as to what you think are approaches that ways that we might phrase the outcome of this meeting and communicate that to the board. Ian and I have both made extensive notes. Chung Wu has marked up his papers already, like they're going out of style. But before I put together any kind of a report back to the board, I would very much appreciate having all of your comments to me. So if I may ask, Dr. Arzine?
Some related issues, other issues in IS 20. One of the we are in Saudi Arabia in the middle of endorsing IS 20, and we came to the idea, if we remove the government from the title of the standard, is there any harm? Because when the standards being issued at that all times, we just think about government only from the grant from government. But now we have a huge foundations like Bill Gates in the United States. We have Al Rajhi in Saudi Arabia with more than 30 billion. They are a foundation, and they usually support some kind of business entities for some kind of social work, like if we have a healthcare business-oriented companies, they will open in some rural area or whatever. So is this standard applied to them or not? So we need some answers, actually, because they say government grants. What about grants from other non-government, actually? That's one question. The other question is about we look at the basic conclusion. Actually, there is no basic conclusion for IS-20. So why they allow non-monetary assets to be valued at nominal value? If you can estimate or can estimate the fair value reliably, why you distinguish government grants or non-monetary government grants from being fair valued? Is there any reason behind that, at least for our information?
Matrix?
Yeah, maybe I guess if I can summarize, maybe a lot of this, a lot of what was said, but also a lot of what I was talking about today, in one suggestion, I guess. Well, probably one of my goals was to hopefully persuade that this group can ask ISB that that maybe. It would be a good idea to actually rejuvenate, I would say, the project on revising IS 20, because I think that would be the probably the best way. Because we know it's an old standard. It's never been revised. It's poor quality. So I guess I hope that I've at least somewhat succeeded in persuading this group that this should be our request to the ISB. So this would be a sensible thing to do, to actually to have a project of include that in the agenda of the ISB.
Chung Wu, when I read the IASB update after the last board meeting, there was a comment that in May the board would be talking about a number of other topics. Was IAS 20 on that list?
No.
No? Okay.
However, there was an issue on the non-reciprocal
maybe some kind of transaction. Sure. So that's related to the contribution. So, but not so many. But there was one of maybe 20 issues. You know, we got some kind of feedback, some kind of necessary the improvements that necessary.
I'll talk about that tomorrow in the first session.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you speak into the mic?
Sorry, do other things. It's a sensible suggestion to make, to basically have a project to revise IS-20?
I think I see a lot of people saying yes.
Excuse me, it says it describes this or that accounting, it must be okay. And I had to say, did you read the paragraph?
Yes.
That says, and we don't think you should do that. So that's an example of it mixing the basis for conclusions all up in the middle. All right, well, we will, first, you all owe me, all y'all, owe me some kind of an email, even if it says I don't have anything to add, as to how we should communicate the outcome of this meeting to the board. I did see a lot of head shaking that a reconsideration of IAS-20 would be useful, but anything more that you can tell me about that before I am obligated to provide something in writing to the board would be useful. Now, staying almost robotically on schedule, topics for future, let's first go to scheduling of our next meeting. Dasani and I have talked and have consulted the IASB's meetings calendar, and it seemed to us that the best dates would be during the week that begins 28 November. We usually hold this meeting on a Tuesday and then the half day on a Wednesday. That allows people travel, but we could be flexible and hold it later in the week, whatever. Comments on that? Any particular difficulties? Did I see somebody shaking a head no down there saying we can't do that? Or,
there's only one possibility, that's in there's an OSG meeting usually in November. It's not the same time.
ARSSG?
Yes. You join late November.
I don't have that in the IASB meetings calendar.
Yeah, quite close to that date, the 28th of November. I have no specific date yet.
But they usually held it in last.
Right, you're right. November. You're right.
Well, we'll consult that. AOSSG would affect Korea, you guys, Malaysia, Indonesia, so that would be a significant problem. India. So we'll clear that first. We'll follow up on that. Okay. Subject to that, though, we'll push ahead on the schedule. We could move it into the next week, the week that begins 5 December. That may limit the extent of participation by IASB board members because the Accounting Standards Advisory Forum meets later that week. That's not a mandatory meeting for all board members, I'm told. So that but I know it's particularly important to South Africa that we try and make sure Daryl can be there, the board member from South Africa. So we'll do, we'll also look at that.
The IRC council meeting would also be on this week in London, so that would be difficult for some of the board members that are following IRC council. I am no longer be there.
No, but there's usually only one board member.
Yes.
IRC?
The Integrated Reporting Council, yes.
I guess we have a couple of suggestions we've collected from our colleagues. One is the individual financial statements, i.e. the, for example, financial statements of a subsidiary.
I thought when you said individual financial statements, you mean mine.
No. Okay. And as to retirement obligations.
Separate financials.
Not necessarily separate. I say individuals that it could be a subgroup financials, could be consolidated, but yeah.
I'm using my shorthand.
We ought to talk about next time. So that's two things I need from all y'all. One is your comments on the way forward with IAS 20. And the second is your view about which of these two possibilities or some other possibility you think we should pursue at our meeting in South Africa. By the way, I assume that that meeting, whenever we hold it, will be in Johannesburg?
Yes.
Okay. Never having been there, I'm not a connoisseur of different places in South Africa, but... okay.
So the deadline is transferable? May? Or in 2 weeks?
2 weeks from today. Okay, I have nothing else administrative. Do any of you have administrative topics you'd like to raise? Yes.
According to the accumulated experience of the group, and you may get some confidence in the group itself. Is there any possibility to get vote in the subject, and what we agree or disagree instead of just consultations?
Okay, to rephrase that, you'd like to see what I'm going to report to the board before.
No, actually,
No.
Actually, before there is no voting on the subject.
Oh, I see.
What's the meaning? What's the direction of the group toward the subject, for example? Instead of just in the discussion, we don't know what we agree or disagree.
That's fair. That's fair. And
after maybe 10, 11 meetings, so.
I know last time when we had our discussion of the agenda consultation, and you recall we took that little straw poll around the table, I reported to the board what the counts were. So I said, you know, this topic got 8 votes and this one got 5 and these only got 1. So they had a flavor of the strength of the views. But certainly let me see what your comments come back to me like, and I may turn them back to you as a group and say, all right, here's choice A, choice B, choice C. Pick one or rank them or whatever. I think that would be useful. That's not taking a vote. That's just making sure we capture the sense of the group. Okay. 6 o'clock downstairs.
Yeah, 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
We come together in the lobby. The transportation will be provided to Galata Tower. We will take a walk because the street is very narrow. The bus may not enter, so we will the bus drop us at some point. We will take some walk, and we will have some time to take a tour around the Galata Tower from top. Also, let me remind you that this book is a complimentary from our institution. There are bags behind the door. You can pick up that bag, put your books into that, and take your country back. Thank you.
And I was told that it was a good idea for me to bring my big camera. So those of you who have cameras along, I was told that was a plan.